Okay. D5. Do you have a ship there? No, no. It's not complicated. It's not complicated. It's not complicated at all. There are a lot of things that are complicated. I agree with you. Healthcare, complicated. International relations, complicated. It's not complicated. You either have a ship there or you don't. What do you mean you don't know where your ship is? How do you not know where your ship is? It should be right in front of you. You're the head of the Navy. You're the commander in chief. You don't know where any of your ships are. None of your ships. You don't know where your ships are. You lost the entire fleet. How do you lose a fucking fleet? Okay, I'm done playing with you. This is, listen, I got a show. I got a show I got to do. I can't play this with you. Send this game to North Korea somewhere. They could use that. I got to go bash you now for a little while. Tell Kellyanne I love her, okay? Yeah, yeah. Talk to you soon. Bye.
It's time for Forward Nation Radio. Now here he is, the host of Forward Nation Radio, David Leventhal.
Welcome to Forward Nation Radio with, this is going to blow your mind, me, David Leventhal. Thanks for joining us today, as always. We're going to start with the news, as we tend to, and we'll take some viewer, listener questions, as we tend to, and then, with any luck, we will finish our discussion of healthcare, including Obamacare and possible Republican plans to change it. Okay, breaking news. Speaking of healthcare is back on the table. Republicans are going to have a replacement for the American Healthcare Act, and they're going to get it passed this week. More breaking news. Healthcare is back off the table. Republicans will not be getting a healthcare plan amended and getting act this week. I don't know. It depends on what time of day you're asking. They have no idea what they're doing. They are clueless. When it comes to something other than looting the country, they're absolutely clueless. So on one day, the Republicans are vowing that they are going to pass health care reform this week. Get it in within Donald Trump's 100 days. More on that in a little bit. And then a moment later, they're saying, no, we didn't mean that. Someone spoke before any of us knew what the hell we were talking about. So that's now back off the table. Other news that's actual real news is something happened. Obviously, elections in France have been on the front page of the newspapers. Very unusual that France makes the front page of our newspapers. And usually when it is, it's not something good. Well, in this case, is it good or is it not good? It's interesting to look at the elections in France and talk how they are a metaphor for what's going on around the world, including what's going on in America. There is a sigh of relief going up around the world, because the far-right populist candidate, the bad kind of populism that we talked about last week, the far-right populist, xenophobic, nativist, bigoted candidate Marine Le Pen only came in second, which might be of some comfort until one realizes that the people who come in first and second both get to run in the runoff about 2 weeks from now. She will be running against a more of a centrist candidate. It's interesting to look at the French candidates and think they are, in some respects, Donald Trump split up. Obviously, Marine Le Pen is the Steve Bannon wing of the Donald Trumpism, the populist, nativist, xenophobic, bigoted populist candidate. And Emmanuel Macron is the not very experienced, we're not sure exactly what we're getting, though his lack of inexperience does not nearly rise to the level of Donald Trump. Immediately after the first round of the election, when Macron came in first, Marine Le Pen came in second, barely edging out the third place write-in candidate, I Surrender. Immediately, all the other candidates came out and said, vote for Macron. Don't vote for Le Pen. And the smart money is saying that he is going to win and win handily the second round of the election and become the next president. And they will have narrowly averted the surge in right-wing populism that is scaring the crap out of the rest of the world. This is right-wing populism that we saw rise up after the last economic destruction of the Great Depression, which led to the rise of fascism throughout Europe, fed by right-wing populism. There is fear around the world that that will happen again following the Great Recession, the worst economic situation since the Great Depression. When people are hurting and angry economically, they tend to lash out at the wrong people. Every election through Europe is a referendum on whether the populist, nativist, xenophobic, in many cases authoritarian, push on the right can be headed off. The reason people are so scared about this, of course, is the extent to which the American presidential election has fed all of this by Americans making the choice that we are all imploring the rest of the world to have more sense than to make. Republican tax proposals were just announced, or initially announced yesterday and today. We will have more on that on a future show when we have all the information in about what those proposals are. Obviously, the early indication, and this is going to blow your mind, is that the Republican tax cut proposals will cut taxes on wealthy people, lead to starve the beast, which will mean they don't have any money for everybody else. Improve education, ensure clean water and clean air. Sorry, we don't have the money to do that. We just gave all of our money to rich people and rich corporations. What a surprise, the path we're going down here. Again, more on that in a future show. Next in the news, coming up rapidly, is a threatened government shutdown. By the end of the week, Congress needs to pass budget resolutions, bills that extend government operations. Government shutdown, you might say? It's the United States government. How does it shut down? Well, interestingly, we've had a full or a partial government shutdown in every presidential administration since Reagan. So we're due. And I'd say, well, people are feeling a little cautiously optimistic about that, about this one. Because after all, Republicans control all aspects of our government. Clearly, the Republicans will be able to do what's necessary to keep the government running. The problem is that speaks to a unity of idea or purpose in the Republican Party that obviously does not exist. It is the Republicans who have been responsible for the recent government shutdowns, including during the Obama administration. A lot of what this is about is that the American government gets bigger every year. Should we be alarmed about this? No, spending goes up in large part because our population keeps getting bigger every year. Just like your family spending is going to go up if you have another baby. It's just par for the course. So historically, every several months, we have to pass, among other things, an increase in the debt ceiling, the amount of money that the United States government is allowed to borrow. Conservative Republicans, who don't generally want government to do anything, I'm perfectly happy to say we're not going to increase the amount of money that government can borrow, that government can spend, that government can have. Whether the Tea Party people, or they're now referred to as the Freedom Caucus, is actually going to undermine Republicans' effort to keep our government running remains to be seen. But it's a far more interesting topic than people probably would have thought it was even weeks ago. Stay tuned for this one, and in any event, this might not be a great time to be planning that vacation to a national park. Okay, I am happy to announce, before we get to our listener questions, we have our first paid advertisement for Forward Nation Radio. That's right, we have sold our first ad, which we will be running for you now. People say that the first 100 days of my administration is some kind of a proving ground for me, President Trump. Let me just tell you that 100 days is a meaningless and arbitrary, it's bad. It is a bad, bad measure of a president. It doesn't mean anything. It is completely arbitrary. And the fact that we did do some of the things, maybe, that I said I would do in my first 100 days is not a sign that we have not been a great presidency. It just doesn't matter. So, let me tell you about how great our first 100 days have been. That's right, these have been the best 100 days that anybody has ever had. Not any president, mind you. Anybody has ever had the best 100 days. It's been amazing. It's been incredible how good our 100 days are. For instance, we have saved tens of jobs. That's right. Because of President Trump, me, I have fulfilled my campaign promise and kept tens of jobs in America. No other president before me has created tens of jobs or saved tens of jobs. And many of these jobs do not involve black lung disease. They're great. They're good jobs. They're really good jobs. They're the best jobs. Best jobs for America. Best ever. It's been unbelievable. But it's been an unbelievable 100 days. Okay? Mar-a-Lago. That's right. Mar-a-Lago has been unbelievable. Memberships are up like you would not believe at Mar-a-Lago. That's right. We've even doubled the membership fee. That's right. We've doubled it from $100,000 to $200,000. First of all, it helps keep the riffraff out. $100,000, letting too much riffraff in. $200,000, we're keeping the riffraff out. Mar-a-Lago has been unbelievable. Even though we keep increasing the price, we've increased the membership price, we still have more people signing up for memberships than ever. Even a lot of foreigners, a lot of foreign dignitaries and business people signing up for Mar-a-Lago. It's been unbelievably popular. And by the way, let me just tell you how great Mar-a-Lago is. The cake is unbelievable. It's the kind of thing that you make decisions to drop bombs over. Unbelievable. The steak, it's real Trump steak. And by Trump, I mean it's delicious. It's the best steak you can get. It is so fresh. It is so fresh. We keep the cows in a pen out back. You can go out and shoot your own steak if you would like. If not, you don't have to. If not, my sons will go out and shoot the caged cows for you. They like to do that kind of thing. Sometimes we even get visited by our former leader, Dick Cheney. Wonderful, wonderful man. I love Dick Cheney. He is a wonderful man. He likes to come out and shoot our caged animals. Sometimes, some people who haven't quite paid their bills. Dick's wonderful, but does like to shoot people. Unbelievable. But it's not just Mar-a-Lago that's had a great 100 days. How about Trump Hotels? That's right, Trump Hotels. Unbelievable. Let me just tell you, they are the best hotels in the world. That's right. Even that one in Azerbaijan that we don't like to talk about. It's still the best hotel. They're best hotels in the world. And the occupancy rates are unbelievable. They're un It is amazing. For some reason, lots of foreign leaders, lots of business people, all like to stay at Trump hotels. It has been a very good 100 days. And Ivanka, unbelievable 100 days for Ivanka. She has sold more stuff. It is amazing how much stuff she has been selling over the last 100 days. People come to the White House and they all want to buy Ivanka stuff. Everybody wants to get into Ivanka's clothes. That's right. I totally understand this. Everybody now wants to get into Ivanka's clothes. It's been unbelievable. So people who tell you that this has not been a good 100 days, let me just tell you, it has been an unbelievable 100 days for the entire Trump family. Entire Trump family has had an unbelievable 100 days. Even that Jewish kid who hangs around my door a lot. Unbelievable. Anyway, the first 100 days doesn't matter. It's an artificial designation. It doesn't mean anything. But you can commemorate the first 100 days of making America great again by going to whitehouse.gov and hitting the shopping tab. It's new. It's up there, shopping tab. And you can buy all kinds of Trump products. Go to whitehouse.gov. Thank you for listening. Okay, that was our first ad. Thank you very much. This is a good time to note that Forward Nation Radio does not necessarily endorse the views expressed on this show. For that matter, many of us don't even necessarily endorse the views expressed by me. But certainly our advertisers, we don't necessarily endorse their views. Though, advertisers, let's talk cash and we will consider endorsing your views. Okay, viewer questions. From Talia in Whitestone, why are people denied the most basic necessities, especially in places like New York City, where homelessness is extremely high? And by extremely high, Talia, I hope you know, we're talking tens of thousands of people filling New York City shelters and not filling New York City shelters. It is absolutely remarkable. That is a great question. And thank you, socialist Talia from Whitestone. I'm just assuming here. Why are people denied the most basic necessities in the richest country the planet has ever seen? I wish I had an answer for you other than either we are remarkably uninformed and uninformed makes us callous, or worse than that, we are just callous. That we are just selfish human beings who don't see the need to provide basic necessities to those around. In class today, I happened to be discussing taxes. And I asked my students in class, how many of you think that children in America should not be guaranteed basic shelter, a home, a roof over their heads? Nobody raised their hand. How many of you think that children should not be guaranteed 3 meals a day in America? Nobody raised their hands. How many of you think we should have a high-quality education, public education for everybody? How many of you think children should have access to health care? Here's a relevant one. And then I looked and I said, you all must be socialists. What I really meant to say, of course, is you all may be human beings. It is remarkable to me, especially in light of Republican tax proposals, that people with an unbelievable amount of money would actually think that the most important thing that this country needs to do is to give them more. That people could have that much money and look around at the suffering around them and not think, I can't enjoy this money. We don't all have to be bleeding hearts. But at some point, we need to be clear that we do not accept this. Why does this happen? I think, hopefully, a lot of it is ignorance from the American public. You turn on Fox News and they tell you that everybody has everything they want in America, unless they're drug addicts, unless they make stupid decisions, unless they're waste products, something along those lines. And it's easy to dismiss them then. That includes children who have no chance in life because they're exposed to lead rather than nutrition. If you think it's unacceptable, one of the things you should be doing is opposing at great strength the proposed Republican tax cuts. Starve the beast. If you give billionaires more, you can't give more to homeless people. These are the choices that we are making as a society. And Talia, it is the reason that I am depressed so often and angry so often on this show. People who want a lot out of government and who have a lot of money have a lot of influence. And they're watching closely what their politicians are doing. And they will close the spigots of campaign spending if politicians don't take public resources and divert it to them. The American public, on the other hand, is mostly asleep. If you were a politician, whose interests would you represent? Okay, Maria from Queens asks, and it's a good follow-up to Talia's question, what is the best way for a beginner to get more involved in everyday politics? Relevant question, and one that's being talked about a lot when there's been a call all across America for more beginners. I was looking for the term Maria used. For more beginners to get involved in politics. The first thing, from my perspective, you want to get involved in politics? Get informed. If you're not informed, don't get involved in politics. Don't even get involved in voting. The first thing that you need to do is you need to get informed. That will make your opinion more valuable to you and to others. You can also, depending on what level of commitment you want to make, at the very least, you will have an impact on those around you, your family members, your friends. By your being more informed and more thoughtful, you will probably be surprised, and it may take some time with some of them, but you might be surprised at how influential you can be, at how their thinking may change a little bit based on more reasoned, more fact-based, more substantive argument. If you want to get involved in more than that, I tell my students all the time, get up and do something. And then I think about it and I say, well, wait a minute, this is the internet age. Sit down and do something. Pick up the phone. Send emails. Picking up a phone and calling your congressman. Call your congressman today. Call your senator today and say, this tax package is a disgrace and you need to fight it tooth and nail. Fact is, they count the phone calls. It matters. Show up for a rally. I've talked about this before. You might actually find that you enjoy it. I get great enjoyment out of being at rallies. I feel a lot better. I'm around people I prefer to be around. You want to do more than that? Run for local office. Run for your school board. Get on the PTA. Start small. Get involved in little things. It's the local stuff that really matters a lot in your community. Get involved in that. Listen to Forward Nation Radio or watch us on YouTube and share us with your friends. Okay, that was a shameless plug. Sorry, Maria, your question probably deserved better than that little joke. Although I think, among other things, Forward Nation Radio hopefully will be part of your information package. Get involved in local politics. Show up at events. Show up at town hall meetings. Do things on the internet. Forward intelligent things rather than ridiculous things. And first of all, and most important, turn off Fox News and don't let anyone around you watch it without shaming them. Thanks, Maria, and good luck getting involved. Okay, back to our main subject, which we started last week. We were talking about healthcare. I'd like to talk a little bit about where we stand, finish the show today talking about what Obamacare was, what it was doing or is doing, and what the Republicans are trying to change about it. Okay, first of all, what is Obamacare? Well, let's start with what Obamacare is not. Obamacare is not, despite what you hear on Fox News, Breitbart, etc., it is not the government takeover of our healthcare system. In fact, government could not even consider the takeover of our healthcare system. I've indicated before in several classes, you can't pass any legislation in America that would be so vigorously opposed by corporate America as that would be. In fact, when Obama was considering his health care plan and his experts, they were not to consider the health care plan or some version of it that is employed in most of the rest of the world. And that is a single payer system, which either does or does not utilize insurance companies, but in any case will eat into their profits. When Bill Clinton was considering health care reform, famously, Hillary Clinton led the panel that was investigating. Imagine that, experts actually talking about health care reform rather than Republicans meeting with political advisors to figure out what will work for them politically. But the health care task force under Clinton was told explicitly, everything is on the table. Consider anything that will work to improve the American health care system and improve our costs and get us closer to universal coverage. Except for one thing. You cannot consider one thing. You cannot consider a government system, a single payer system, an expansion of Medicare that would cover more Americans. We will never get it by the insurance companies. Turns out Clinton couldn't even get his modified plan past the insurance companies. Single payer would never have gone through. No, Obamacare works within our existing structure, placing some limits and rules that help open up healthcare access for normal, everyday Americans. As we talked about last time, the American healthcare system is far more expensive than the rest of the world. Everybody in the rest of the world. We are way more expensive. One of the reasons for that is the way we pay people within our healthcare system. Frequently, generally, people are paid by what they do and what they order. I had a student, in fact, come to me today. He's been having some health issues, saying he went to a cardiologist after having gone to several other cardiologists and having all kinds of different tests that said that had conflicting results. He said his cardiologist today said to him, they should never have ordered any of these tests. You didn't need any of these tests, but they do order these tests because they get money every time they order tests. Well, one of the things that Obamacare seeks to do is change that pay-for-service-based system. Pay for what you order, pay for what you do. And instead pay based on outcomes. That whatever it is, whatever problem you face, you pay the doctor or hospital, whatever, a certain amount, what you think is a reasonable fee to cover that. This won't require you then to go in and visit your doctor rather than get a question answered on the phone so that your doctor can bill for an office visit. There's no point. There's no point ordering tests that are unnecessary. This is one of the reasons that healthcare costs, the growth of healthcare spending, has slowed, despite what you've heard, since the imposition of Obamacare. Most of you know, of course, that another provision of Obamacare is that young people can stay on their parents' plan until the age of 26. Why is this important? As we talked about last time, with corporations increasingly refusing to provide healthcare coverage, people are graduating from college, especially when the economy is not so great, graduating from college and getting internships or getting jobs that do not provide benefits. Therefore, they are playing Russian roulette with their lives. They're not earning enough money to spend thousands of dollars that would be required to buy an individual plan. Under Obamacare, these people now have health care. Until they're 26, they may remain on their parents' policies. Plans are required to cover, well, employers are required to cover. There is an employer mandate. Employers are required, larger employers are required to provide health care to their workers. We talked last time about how companies are increasingly not providing health care. Well, under Obamacare, employers are either mandated to provide health insurance to their employees or pay a penalty for that. In addition, plans are required to provide a certain minimal coverage. There is a minimal acceptable coverage that your plan can provide in order to meet the mandate. That includes such things as hospitalization, pregnancy, maternity, and newborn care. Oh my God, the socialist. Prescription drugs, pediatric services. That's right, pediatric services. Imagine that. You have to actually cover oral and vision care for children. Mental health and substance abuse services. Not sure what that's all about. Aren't our prisons working well enough to house the mentally ill? But those are required to be covered. Turns out you needed to do that in part because there are a lot of crappy insurance plans out there. Millions of Americans have been paying money for insurance or getting insurance through their employer and feeling like they're covered for whatever it is that's going to affect them, only to find out if they actually get sick that their plan doesn't cover what they need covered. Some time ago, my wife and I have a very good friends, a couple. They are Republican and more conservative than us. They're wonderful people. We were visiting with them sometime not too long ago. And the wife works for a large financial firm. And she pointed out that the financial firm had just announced that they were going to stop providing health care to some of their employees because of Obamacare, because of the Obamacare requirements. And they were really upset at Obamacare because of this. I said, "You're upset at Obama for this?" Let's start with this. First of all, if your company can no longer provide the coverage it was providing, understand that's because it was providing shit coverage. And I promise you that's not the coverage they're providing to the principals at that company, the partners at the company. They're providing it to the lower level employees they feel like stiffing, with a healthcare plan that's so inadequate that if these people get sick, they're probably going to be told to die or spend all their life savings in order to cover that. But I had another response beyond that. I said, "Wait a minute. It's because of Obama that your company can no longer provide health care to many of its employees." I get it. The partners at your firm, how much money do they make a year? And she said, "Millions of dollars," which is what I knew the answer was going to be. Millions of dollars. Oh, millions, millions. I said, "Let me understand this. The partners at your firm make millions of dollars a year, but they need to stop providing health coverage to many of their employees, and that's Obama's fault? Are you kidding?" This is where there's a lack of meeting of the minds between conservatives and liberals. Say, how does that make sense to you? They might make a little bit less if they provided health care than the millions they're making, and you're going to blame that on Obama? Anyway, here's the real meat of the Affordable Care Act, the source of litigation and lots of concern. One of the things that the Affordable Care Act does is it prevents insurance companies from denying coverage for pre-existing conditions. As indicated a little bit in last week's show, if you have a pre-existing condition without health care, good luck. If it is life-threatening, you will die. If you are, God forbid, diagnosed HIV positive when you do not have insurance, at least in the old days, you would die because no insurance company would cover you when they know that you're going to cost them thousands and thousands of dollars a year or a month or whatever. So people with pre-existing conditions were given a death sentence, perhaps. Well, Obama required insurance companies to cover people with pre-existing conditions. But what do you do if people have pre-existing conditions and they can get coverage? What that does is it gives people an incentive to not get insurance while they're healthy. The way insurance works, of course, is the only way it becomes affordable for anybody is the people who don't use it help subsidize the people who do. That often means younger people help subsidize older people's health care. They get theirs years down the road when things have switched around and they're now the olders rather than the younger. But that would cause a death spiral and destroy the health insurance industry if all the healthy people opted out. Why buy insurance if you could just get it once you get sick? Wait until you get sick, then get insurance. So along with that came something called the individual mandate, which requires people to get insurance. That way, of course, when healthy people get into the system and bring costs down for everybody else. The individual mandate that conservatives are so upset about, even though this was originally a conservative plan coming out of the Heritage Foundation, which conservatives thought was okay a couple of decades ago before, for instance, the black guy touched it and got black on it. The individual mandate requires people to get insurance. It comes with subsidies so that people who can't really afford insurance can afford insurance. About 75% of people who got individual insurance policies under Obamacare are paying less than $75 a month after subsidies. Republicans want to get rid of the individual mandate, even though it was their plan. Also, of course, Obama expanded Medicaid. Millions of people, poorer people, are covered under Medicaid that wouldn't have been before. In fact, the federal government was paying states 100% of their additional Medicaid costs to cover more people. That was only for several years, and it would go down to the high 90s, and then at some point, I think, the mid-90s. The federal government would pay for states to give insurance to their citizens. Makes a lot of sense. It's good for the states. Well, unless you're run by Republicans, of course, and your goal is not to help your citizens, not to have a healthcare system that works better, but to tar Obama with something that's bad. So Republican states refused, many of them refused to expand Medicaid, and then turn around and say, look, Obamacare's not working. Ultimately, Obamacare is designed to tax the rich to provide healthcare to the poor. What are Republicans going to do about Obamacare? Well, they have a couple of problems. As I indicated before, if you hit somebody on the head with a baseball bat, they pretty much know who to blame. If you do it indirectly, then most people are too uninformed to know who to blame. Well, if you take insurance coverage away from a 23-year-old, they know who to blame. So the Republicans are saying, okay, we're going to keep that part, staying on your parents' plan to 26. We're not going to require employers to provide insurance anymore, so they can go back to not providing insurance, and then people can blame it on their employers or somebody else. They probably won't think enough to blame it on the Republicans. They're going to get rid of the individual mandate, and they are going to replace it, and Medicaid expansion they're going to get rid of. They're going to get rid of the individual mandate, and they're going to replace it. They're going to keep in that you can't refuse coverage for pre-existing conditions. It's a big deal, and people care about that. But you don't have to have insurance. What they're going to do instead is they're going to impose a penalty on people who let their insurance coverage lapse for at least 2 months. That penalty could be an additional 30% for like a year in your insurance. So if you are young and healthy, would you sign up for health care knowing that the worst thing that will happen when you get sick is that it will cost you for a little while 30% more than it otherwise would have? This will inevitably lead to the death spiral that Republicans keep warning about in Obamacare. It will lead young people to get out of the system, leaving only sick people in the system and destroying the entire healthcare system. This is what we have to look forward to when they finally get their act together. That's our show for today. Thank you very much for joining us. As always, please check us out on our website at forwardnationradio.com. Please forward our link. Watch us on YouTube. Listen to us on Podbean. Talk to all your friends. Climb to the top of the Statue of Liberty and scream out Forward Nation Radio. We'll at some point have to come up with a prize for that. Thanks for listening. We look forward to seeing you next week. Bye-bye.
Listening to Forward Nation Radio with David Leventhal.